Good Wednesday evening, one and all, and welcome to our midweek church service. Welcome to those on the phone and those listening to the recording. And it's good to be back in fellowship with you all once again. Our opening song for tonight's service is entitled, I Saw One Weary. I saw one weary, sad and torn, with eager steps press on the way, who long the hallowed cross had borne, still looking for the promised day. While many a line of grief and care upon his brow was furrowed there, I asked what buoyed his spirits up. Oh, this, said he, the blessed hope. And one I saw with sword and shield, who boldly braved the world's cold frown, and fought unyielding on the field to win an everlasting crown. Though worn with toil, oppressed by foes, no murmur from his heart arose. I asked what buoyed his spirits up. Oh, this, said he, the blessed hope. And there was one who left behind the cherished friends of early years, and honor, pleasure, wealth resigned to tread the path bedewed with tears. Through trials deep and conflicts sore, yet still a smile of joy he wore. I asked what buoyed his spirits up. Oh, this, said he, the blessed hope. While pilgrims here we journey on in this dark veil of sin and gloom, through tribulation, hate, and scorn, or through the portals of the tomb, till our returning King shall come to take his exiled captives home. Oh, what can buoy the spirits up? 'Tis this alone, the blessed hope. And indeed, dear ones, it is a blessed hope that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is coming soon to take us off of this dark, wicked world and home with Him forevermore. Even though we're weary, maybe sad, maybe bruised and battered by the enemy, yet He will never leave us or forsake us. And that's our blessed hope. He's coming again to take us home.
Let's pray. Precious Lord God, thank you so much for this day that you have made and for giving each one of us life to live it, and not only life in the natural, but life in the spiritual. In Christ, And thank you for this blessed hymn that covers so much of what your children experience here in this world, but that our hearts are filled with the blessed hope that you are coming again, you are coming for your people. And help us to keep our eyes upon Christ, no matter the sadness, the battles, those we've cherished friends we've had to leave, friendships, and the hymn says, the dark veil of sin and gloom that's in this world. Despite all of these things, we have joy in our hearts because of you, because of you, Lord God, because thy Spirit indwells our heart and teaches us and helps us and convicts us and corrects us and comforts and encourages us all along the way. Thank you for making the provisions that we needed to get through this world, and that we can receive your grace by faith. So thank you so much for this weekly meeting that we have, and time to come together in fellowship and in prayer and in the lesson to be recharged, so to speak, through all of these things. And thank you for making the provision for it and for each one here. And we remember those who are not here, those sick and those sorrowing or suffering in one way or the other. Remember all those in the fellowship of this ministry. I pray you bless each one and keep us all. And thank you again, Lord. And may the Holy Spirit impart grace to our elder in the teaching and in the words and in our hearts to receive. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And thank you, dear sister. Our study book is Romans, and we left off last time at verse 21 of chapter 4. And what we were discussing when we ended last Wednesday was dealing with Abraham and the promise that God had given him of a son, as well as inheriting the land that he was walking on. And he believed that what God had promised, he was able to perform. He was able to make it happen. And so by faith, Abraham was made righteous. And this was before he was circumcised. So then this was used by Paul as an analogy that it was not just the Jews that would be brought into the promised land of heaven, but it would also be the Gentiles, because they would also be included with the promise of God to Abraham, because he was not yet circumcised when that promise was made. And so then circumcision mattered nothing to God in the flesh, but it had a lot of spiritual meaning in the heart. So Paul says that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And so now we pick it up at verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. So Abraham believed God's promise, recognizing that he was the Almighty and thus could make anything happen according to his will. So by faith, Abraham believed that God was going to give him a son. that God was going to allow him to have the land that he walked on as his own possession through his lineage. And because he believed God, it was imputed to him as righteousness. Now, imputed means to be put on your account. So by faith, righteousness was imputed or put on Abraham's account. And there wasn't anything that he did for it. He just believed, and he was accounted righteous. Verse 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So if we believe on God, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, then righteousness will be imputed to our account because we believe having not seen. That's faith. So righteousness imputed to our account is justification or righteousness by faith. And we learned earlier in, I think it's Romans 3:5. I'd have to look it back up. But justification is for the sins of the past. So then when we believe that God has forgiven us our sins because we confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then righteousness, Christ's righteousness, is imputed to us. It's put on our account. And it's all done by faith. So Christ sacrificed his life in order that our offenses, our breaking of the law, might be removed from us, our sins be forgiven. And he was raised from the dead for our justification. Are there any thoughts or comments or questions before we continue? Please feel free. May God bless you also, dear sister. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, by faith. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. So we're justified by faith, no actions required, no works required to have Christ's righteousness imputed to our account. But then Paul says in verse 2 that this same faith allows us access into the grace of God wherein we're able to stand. So now, after being justified by faith alone, that allows us to have access to the grace of God so that we can stand. Now, to stand requires action, effort. So justification's by faith alone, but now we need to move beyond faith alone and utilize this grace of God so that we can stand. So it's not just faith alone, but now we see that works combined with our faith comes into play through grace. Now, what is grace? Amen. Grace is unmerited favor of God. It's given to us as a gift. This grace allows us to connect with the divine power of God, the strength of Christ, so that we can do things with God's glory in mind. In other words, works can be performed. Thank you for that correction. It's not Romans 3:5 dealing with justification for sins of the past, but it's Romans 3:25. So thank you for that correction. So justification is by faith alone, but then we are to have access to the grace of God, the strength of God, the divine power of God that will enable us to stand. Now, before we're standing, where are we? We would be sitting down or flat on our back. And that's what sin has done to each one of us. We would be without strength. And if you're without strength, you would be flat on your back or flat on your face. Maybe on your side. But you would be horizontal. You would not be in a sitting position because that takes strength in order to sit. So while we are sinners, we are without strength. We're unable to stand. That's why having your sins forgiven is all by faith alone, because you have no strength to stand to come to God. It has to be by faith alone. So once we're justified by faith alone, and we've been brought to peace between us and God through Jesus Christ, we then have the access, the permission, the ability to receive the grace, the strength, the divine power of God that we can get off of our backs and stand. That means we must do something. Not just remain in a justified position and do nothing, but to utilize the grace that God provides us so that we can then stand and bring glory to Him. Are we to stand still? What are we to do after we stand? We're to walk by faith. We're to utilize this grace that God has given us to obey God through faith. So justification is by faith alone, but then we're to use the grace that God has given us to stand and then to walk forward in the newness of life. Using His grace that's given to us on a continual basis to continually do the will of God and not our own will. So then this grace is given us to obey God, to live that new life, to be that new creature in Christ Jesus, created unto good works, to the glory of God. So many people understand justification to be by faith alone, but they don't understand that God then gives you grace so that you can perform His will and not your own will. Because if you've been buried with Christ and raised to a new life, then your old life is supposed to remain in the grave, buried, out of sight, so that you can now live like Christ, the new life, born again. If self has been put off and buried in the grave, then Christ has been put on. So then you walk with this grace and strength that God freely provides you. You walk forward by faith. Now, a lot of people don't recognize that grace is given unto God's people to obey Him. And let's back that up with Scripture. Romans 1:5 says, by whom, or God, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name or His glory. So then this grace that we have access to after we've been justified by faith is to allow us to obey God for His name's sake, for His glory. So grace is not given us so we can continue in the old man or old woman experience. That's been dead, and we've been raised to a new life and then been given the grace so that we can stand and begin to walk this new life. So justification is not all there is to salvation. There's also the process of sanctification, living that new life to the glory of God by grace that's given to us. We didn't earn it. God gives it to us so that we can then choose to follow His will and no longer our own will. And that, of course, is all by faith. So we see here that faith alone brings justification to us, but faith combined with works through grace enables us to do God's will. So justification by faith, Christ's righteousness is imputed to us. Then sanctification by faith and works combined under grace, and this is the combination that brings salvation. So justification by faith alone, Christ's righteousness is imputed to our account, and we're righteous before God. Sanctification by faith and works, Christ's righteousness is imparted to us so that we can live His life. So in justification, His righteousness was imputed to us. His righteousness was given to us. In sanctification, His righteousness is imparted to us as we use His grace to stand and then walk forward in faith. So faith and works combined makes a living soul. But faith without works makes a dead soul. So those that are just following Christ under justification, they haven't yet stood for God. They're still flat on their backs. God says, here's the grace you need. Use it to stand. And then continue using it to go forward. They haven't yet got off their back. So justification and sanctification go together and allow us to bring glory to God. So Paul says in verse 2 of chapter 5, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And then what are we to do after we stand? Continuing. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So this grace enables us to stand, to walk forward by faith, and to rejoice in the hope that we're bringing glory to God. But if you're choosing to follow self, then you're not bringing glory to God, and that is no cause for rejoicing. So once we've been justified by faith, once we have received the grace so that we can stand and begin to walk forward in the newness of life, you think the devil's going to be happy about that? Not at all. He's going to do everything that he possibly can to get you back to a flat position so that you're no longer standing and thus no longer walking to the glory of God. Verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. So after we've been justified by faith, we're using the grace to stand and walk in the newness of life in that process of sanctification, tribulations are going to come. But we've been given the grace to stand and to follow God's will. That's a cause for rejoicing. We can now bring glory to God. So then when tribulations come to us, which they will, our focus is still on bringing glory to God, rejoicing in the fact that he's given us the grace to stand and to perform his will. So then when the tribulations come, we can glory in those tribulations because we're following the will of God. And he's given us all the grace, the strength, and the wherewithal to perform his will. And he's even working within us to do his will. That's a cause for rejoicing. So when the devil is angry at us and comes against us with all of these trials and tribulations and annoyances, if our focus is on bringing glory to God, then we can rejoice in what he has done for us and is continuing to do for us as we walk forward by faith. So then, in Christ, we are more than conquerors. It's his grace and strength we're using. He's the mighty conqueror. the devil is a defeated foe. So then if we have Christ's grace and strength, we know that we can gain the victory over any tribulation, trial, temptation, annoyance. Because Christ did. So then when these come, if our focus is on Christ, bringing glory to Him and to God our Father, then we can glory, we can rejoice in these tribulations because we know we're going to gain the victory. Continuing. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. So then patience, a precious attribute, comes about by overcoming tribulation with God's glory in mind, using His grace and strength to do so. So when tribulations come, it's going to work patience in us. When patience is being worked in us, verse 4, it's going to bring experience. And when experience is working in us, it's going to bring hope. Hope of what? Hope that we, with Christ's grace and strength, can become more like God in character and thus bring Him glory. Verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So verses 1 through 5 bring up the fact that it's all three gods of the Godhead that make it possible for us to overcome the devil and to be like God in character and give Him glory. Verse 1 is justification by faith alone. Verse 2 is sanctification by faith and works. Verse 3 is tribulations help us in this process of sanctification. Verse 4 is that overcoming in Christ's strength will develop in us patience, experience, and hope. And verse 5 is all of this is made possible because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is working within us to gain the victory and salvation, all because of the love of God. This whole plan of salvation is due to the love of God for you, dear precious soul.
Hello, everyone, again. I just wanted to say about that wonderful verse. They're all wonderful verses, but about chapter 5, verse 5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That term, shed abroad, you know, as I looked that up, it's also translated as poured out or shed forth or spilling over, running out, gushing out. And just to think about that, you know, when God puts His love in us, the Holy Spirit in us and God, you know, in us, in our hearts, as it says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us when He comes to indwell and brings, you know, as we walk in this faith, you know, God and Christ, that love spills out to others. It's not just something, you know, that we have for God, but the love of God is a love that pours out to others and is shed forth and spills out and gushes out to everyone. And so I just think that's a really encouraging thought that I want to keep before my mind, the importance of, you know, of course, my love to God, but then to turn around and let his love spill out from me to all others.
Amen, dear sister, and thank you for bringing up that point. The picture that it gave me was that it's an abundance of outpouring, meaning it's more than we could ever utilize, which means that there's enough there in any given time to be able to utilize it in overcoming to God's glory. So we're never going to be short of the grace that comes to us through the love of God. It's always going to be sufficient for us. And it's never going to run out. And all of this is because the Holy Ghost is given unto us without measure. And praise God for making it all possible. So thank you, dear sister. That was a wonderful point. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments?
Hello. Hi. Blessed greetings to all that are in here. I just want to share, as Brother Dad was talking about, justification is righteousness. And if we keep our eyes on the Lord, none of the devil's annoyance will be able to bother us. And this is exactly what I needed to hear. As you guys know, for the past few weeks, couple of months, I've been trying to give the gospel to, you know, my coworkers and those who I had to all to pray for, two in particular, Quentin and Gina. For the past 2 weeks, I don't know why, I haven't seen them. And I didn't know why. I always usually see them every day. And it turns out that they had left. But before they left, praise God, I had opportunity to give each and every one a great controversy. I didn't think anything of it. I gave Gino a couple of tracks. I gave Quentin a couple of tracks as well. And then last Sabbath, with Mama Michelle's story about how Brother Dad, how there was someone sitting on the side of the road and how he threw one of the books, you know, while he was driving past by, and it rolled and landed on the guy's lap. It just and spark a flame in that I just start taking the tracks and leaving it all over, as always says, let it be accessible to people, let it be as much as the leaves of fall, flooded the ground. So we were doing so. But with all the beautiful possibilities of ways that the Word of God could be spread, I've been battling weird issues at work. It's like I am going through the fire. I have issues with my supervisor, and it's a lot of things. And I'm not the only one. There are other people who are, complaining. And Michael, remember I asked you guys to pray for him? He was, having issues with her. And he was, saying that he doesn't feel she's a Christian. She's not a really nice person. And I really tried. I honestly tried to do everything to try to win her over. And it means so much to get to talk to her to find out that she later told me she was a Christian. But I don't know to the full extent. She doesn't really talk about it. But it's like, 1 minute I go into work and everyone is kind and friendly, and the next minute people are just, I don't know, you can see the spirit that is there. And I just try to, stay cheerful and everything. But there's a lot of things, and I kept thinking, what is it? What is it? And then afterwards, it will, like, on Monday, I was calling Sister May, and I spoke to her, and I was like, are you going to be able to come over and visit? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, I need my sis. And she came and, she kept saying, you just pray for that person. And she even saw the woman when she came to my job and picked me up. And she was like, her spirit. She said, that person, she said, her spirit is not too right. But she already knew before I even told her who the person was. So she just kept saying, pray for her. Pray for her. And I've been praying. But I've been trying to find other ways how I can deal with this character that is so difficult. I stayed up, I was looking for different ways how, to deal with certain issues, because on that day when I was calling Maymay for my break, I didn't even eat. I had to take a walk and try to find some Christian, Christian uplifting, And it's just that it wasn't until today that I realized. I was talking to Sean, I was like, I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand why it's like I'm battling, different. Like, you see 1 minute and then the next minute it moves on to someone else. And it moves on to someone else. And then when you talk to a person, they're like, I don't know, or they don't realize what it is. And I'm like, okay, then I know what it is that I'm battling. I have to put on my whole armor. And I have to gear up. And I when I saw that, I'm like, Sean, I'm like, how, maybe, I was like, the devil's mad. There's something he's mad about. I couldn't put my finger on it until I remember the two guys. And then I'm like, maybe something happened. Maybe they really got into the book and they were reading it. Maybe they spread it. I don't know. But the devil is angry. He is really mad. And then we were like, oh my goodness, we just stopped and thought. And then I was telling my husband, I was like, please tell me when it's 9 o'clock, because I was cooking, because I want to come into the chat room. And as I come in, it's like the Holy Spirit is telling you, this is what you have to go through. Because both people who are very dear to me, my mom and Sister May, they both said the same thing. They said, maybe this is a test that you have to go through. And mom's like, Keisha, this is a test you have to go through. There's something you have to learn from this. But just now, Brother Dad just said that these things that we go through is so we can learn patience. Lord knows that is not of my strongest points. But if going through the fire means I get to overcome and gives a huger chance for me to be able to see Christ later. You know, if I'm faithful, I will go through it. But it's not going to be easy. Well, hopefully you guys can pray and keep me in prayer. Because the same souls that I had prayed so long to give the gospel to, like, I got really disencouraged because they're the same ones that are, like, not liking.
Amen, sister. Can you all hear me? Okay, definitely. We want them to see Christ in us and not us. It's a grief to think that we come out at all in any of it. But I just want to say one thing that has really helped me, and then I have a question for Elder, is, to follow Christ and being of no reputation, and that means a lot of things, but one aspect of that is that when men don't like us and they hate us and they cast out our name as evil, that we can just we can just not be concerned at all about that they're hating us. And I don't think you are in that way. I think your concern definitely is for their souls, but that having no reputation, we can have peace amidst their not understanding the truth. Because I've gone through so much of that and so much of people not understanding and then so not liking me or hating or whatever, to just still learning to have the peace in that, knowing that only God through the Holy Spirit can show them. And so I've had to let my reputation just go through the mud, knowing that as I stay faithful to God, He is going to let that happen. It happened to Christ. It happened to all the apostles. It happens to all of God's children, as you well know. We all know that our name is going to be dragged through the mud and we're not going to be understood. But and yet, as we just keep letting it happen and not letting it in any way, just learning to not let it in any way, rather, get us down. And if we find that we're getting down by it, to because we love them and we so want them to understand, that we can just let it go and know that God is working as we are being maligned and misunderstood, God is working in that very thing, because we are definitely following Christ in that. But also, brother, I had a question when you'd mentioned that the Spirit is not been given by measure unto us. And I can sure see in that verse, shed abroad the love of God. But I had thought that He was given in measure to us, and that we grow, like when we first, enter the life or are born again. We don't have the fullness. I guess we have the potential, the love, but we don't have the experience, I don't think, of the fullness. And it says in John 3:34, it's talking about Christ, and it said, for he whom God, he, Christ, whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. For God, for the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. And that's John 3:34 and 3:35. So I read that as the Spirit was given in fullness to Christ, whereas we, I don't think we could take that import, that measure of the fullness right away, yet we tend to have to, because of sin, which Christ didn't have, we have to receive the Spirit in measure, and as we grow in the grace and knowledge of God, we grow from this measure that whatever it was we had, we grow into the fullness of the Spirit as we walk in sanctification. And hopefully the very fullest is to be like Christ, and that 144,000 to have that fullness that Christ had. But that was my understanding, and I just wanted your thoughts on that.
Well, thank you, dear sister. And you know, when you were explaining, before the question of dealing with measure, when you were explaining how receive love for hate and to recognize they don't understand what they're doing, and so we need to recognize that and not respond in the same way they're responding to us, but just the opposite. So when they reveal hate to us, we need to show love. That brought back to mind a testimony in the Spirit of Prophecy, where she talks about the test of God's people is going to be on being able to draw warmth from the coldness of others, courage from their cowardice, and loyalty from their treason. And again, our focus has to be on God and His glory. If it's on us, we're going to miserably fail. There's no way we're going to draw warmth from the coldness of others, but we're going to be turned off by their coldness. And thus self rises up, and we end up going away from God's glory. So indeed, when, you know, Christ brought forth that you're to love your enemies and do good to those who hate you, and bless those who despitefully use you and persecute you, we're to do just the opposite. And thus our eyes have to be fixed on God, and then that grace that's given to us abundantly will enable us to have the faith to know that we can overcome through Christ, which strengthens us. And now to your question about measure, I guess it depends on how you look at it. To have a well of water springing up abundantly and overflowing, there's so much more available than what you're able to drink. So you can look at that as the Spirit being poured out without measure. Or you can look at it from the aspect that there's enough there that will enable you to grow from one stage to another stage to another stage to another stage. There's an abundance. So the Spirit was poured out to Christ without measure, but he had to grow up step by step. And as he matured, as he learned how to follow God, not that he ever did not follow God, but it was something he had to learn. He was not born with a fully completed character. It's something that he had to choose to form by following God's will and not his own. And yet the Spirit was given to him without measure. There was an abundance of grace available for Christ to use to stand and to walk forward in following the will of God at each step in his life. It's the same with us. So it just depends on how you view without measure or overabundance. So I just looked at it from the aspect that there's always going to be more than what we can utilize in order to follow God, and thus there will never be a shortage. We'll never come up short. There is always more available. And so that is without measure. But it, praise God that the Spirit is shed abroad abundantly upon our hearts, all because of Christ's sacrifice and resurrection and God's love for each one of us. Are there any other thoughts, any other questions, comments? Please feel free.
Whatsoever's born of God, overcoming the world. Whatsoever's born of God, overcoming the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, even our faith.
Amen. Amen indeed. Faith which worketh by love and purifieth the soul. Well, dear ones, let's go ahead and open it up to a season of prayer. And whoever would like to start, please feel free, and I'll go ahead and close. So please go right ahead.
Dear Lord, please forgive us for our sins and humble our hearts and help us to be more like you. Help us to involve you in everything that we do, everything that we say. Help us not to be easily offended. Help me not to be easily offended. Watch over each and every one of us as we part our ways. Let the Holy Spirit abide and go with each and every one of us. Help him to protect us from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet. Teach us to walk in your ways. For we are like children just learning to stand, and we fall all the time. Thank you so much for the message that Brother Dad, Elder Bob, shared with us today, and bless him as well in his household. Bless those who are here to hear it and those who are listening on the phone. And thank you for letting the Holy Spirit to allow him to share this message today, for it was needed. I know I needed to hear it. but all of us as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for your great infinite love for each one of us that has provided this plan of salvation. We thank you so much, dear Father, for providing it while we were still sinners, rebelling against thee, and yet out of love, you've provided a way for us to come back to loyalty and to give up our rebellion. Thank you so much, dear Savior, for spilling your blood that all of our sins might be forgiven and we can have your righteousness imputed to us. And thank you so very much for imparting your righteousness to us so that we might be able to do the will of God through the grace and the strength that comes to us so that we can obey our Father and perform His will. And Father, thank you for pouring upon us without measure your Spirit, and Spirit fulfilling our hearts with the love of God as the motivating factor for our obedience to Him. Please cleanse us from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit that we might indeed in your grace and strength perfect holiness in the fear of God and indeed to give Him glory. Continue to work within us a transformation from death to life. And please help us step by step to add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience brotherly kindness. Help us indeed to be more like our Savior in character, that we will indeed be able to return love for hatred, that we can draw warmth from the coldness that is shown us by others. May we indeed be loyal to Thee while those around us may be giving You up, may be running away. Help us to be courageous and to stand for Thee and Thy law in this age of lawlessness. Please answer our dear sister's request for more patience, experience, hope, and please do the same for each one of us, that we might indeed be your saints, your children that are known for patience, and might indeed manifest true godly love, which is long-suffering and never fails. We pray, dear Father, that you'll be with our dear sister that is battling a terrible disease. Please draw her closer to Thee and to look to Thee as her great physician in this great time of need. Be with all of those that are recovering from the aftermath of the Hurricane Matthew. And please protect them in a mighty way that they may have a witness to give to others of the glory and love of God for them. be with those that have lost loved ones, and please help them not to become bitter, but to look to Thee for hope of life after death, only made possible in Jesus Christ. And please wake people up, dear Father, that time is short and that they need to get prepared to accept that gift and not ignore it any longer or turn away from it. We thank You for being with us tonight. Thank You so much that we're able to gather together and to worship You in spirit and in truth and to understand Thy word of life for just such a time as this. Thank You for hearing and answering these prayers and the prayers of those that have requested and brought forth their petitions, especially those silent requests of the heart, and You know each one. And thank You so much for hearing and answering according to Thy perfect will and timing. Please be with us now as we part just for a few days, a couple days actually, and continue helping us grow in grace and in the knowledge of the truth that will lead us to salvation in Jesus. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, God bless you too, dear sister, and are there any other thoughts or comments, questions, any other songs, testimonies? Please feel free. Well, dear ones, may God bless. Keep looking up. And we look forward to fellowshipping with you in 2 days. This coming Friday evening. And don't forget that we're having foot washing and communion on this coming Sabbath, the 15th. So please come prepared, and we look forward to having you partaking with us on the extra special Sabbath. That will be the 200th Sabbath since we started this fellowship room. So please come prepared, and we look forward to partaking with you of communion and foot washing. So again, may God bless and keep looking up. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, glory and honor, glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created, hast all things created. Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Revelation 4:11.